say that there are no, I have no financial conflicts, and that's a good thing. So the title of my talk this afternoon is titled Community Health Applied Research Networks. It's a marriage of community and academic health centers. All right, I need to do this. All right. So HRSA last year, about a year ago, September 2010, HRSA awarded $10 million of ARRA, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funds, to five organizations in four states to demonstrate that safety net providers and academic institutions can partner together to create effective infrastructure that supports patient-centered outcomes research. This was really a key investment that HRSA made and the department made in building infrastructure. It was very different from what other organizations, what the investment had been. Because typically in doing that kind of work, the funds go to academic institutions to partner with community organizations. This was not what happened. The money went to community organizations to partner with academic institutions to build research infrastructure. So there were five grantees, as I said. They each received $2 million over the course of 3 years to develop that infrastructure. So today we call it patient-centered outcomes research. At that time we called it comparative effectiveness research. And so CER is the direct, as you know, the direct comparison of existing healthcare interventions to determine which interventions work best for which patients and which pose the greatest benefits or harms. So, you know, in short, the core question that comparative effectiveness research tries to address is which treatments work best for whom and under what circumstances. And the research that we're interested in here is not only comparing drugs, but also medical devices, tests, surgeries, and for HRSA in particular, ways that healthcare is organized and delivered. So here's what, I mean, we have, I'm gonna set my timer on. So we have about 16 minutes, and so I'm going to spend that time just giving you a sense of the landscape that we operate in, the mission and key deliverables for CHARN, the composition and governance structure for this organization, the goals, objectives, and activities, the accomplishments in the last year, and what our next steps are. I know, this is supposed to work. No, it needs to work.
Okay.
Good. All right. So in terms of the landscape, you know, the Department of Health and Human Services recently announced the HHS Action Plan to reduce racial and ethnic disparities. And the vision here is a nation free of health disparities, not only in health, but also in healthcare. And this action plan operates within the five strategic plans or the five strategic goals for HHS. So the five goals that HHS has as its terms of its strategic plans: one is to transform healthcare. The second is to strengthen the nation's infrastructure in health and human services workforce. The third goal is to advance health, safety, and well-being of all the American people. The fourth, and this is where this CHARN resides, is to advance scientific knowledge and innovation. And the fifth is to increase the efficiency, transparency, and accountability of HHS programs. So as I was saying, CHARN addresses the fourth goal, which is to advance scientific knowledge and innovations. And there are a number of objectives under this goal. But the objective that CHARN really speaks to is that this strategic plan calls for us to expand research capacity in health disparities research. And as I mean, I hope I will demonstrate that's what we're trying to do. We're really trying to build that infrastructure, really trying to build the capacity to do this. And the lead agency to really expand this research capacity is NIH with HRSA and the Office of Minority Health having participating roles. We also know we have the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute, which is also called as PCORI. And PCORI's mission, PCORI was, you know, came about in the last previous, out of the last federal budget, and was funded from 2012 up till 2019. And the mission of PCORI is to help people, to provide information that helps people make informed healthcare decisions, to improve healthcare delivery and outcomes by producing and promoting really high integrity evidence-based information. And hopefully this research will be guided by patients, caregivers, and the broader healthcare community. So here's CHAN's mission. So CHAN seeks to build capacity to carry out patient-centered outcomes research that will lead to better patient care at federally supported community health centers, as well as the larger safety net. As many of you know, this clinic serves people who are significantly underrepresented in traditional healthcare research. They include those who are uninsured, those who are poor, people who are geographically isolated, and members of racial and ethnic minority groups. So here's what we promise to do within the next, well, we have 2 more years. We've spent the first year to build a registry. We also aim to have completed 1 to 2 network-wide projects, to have a research agenda, as well as to have developed some grants and contract applications. So 17 health centers participate in CHARN. 17 health centers participate in CHARN, and we'll see what these organizations are shortly. Those health centers have about almost 500,000 patients. 4 organizations participate in CHARN. When we look at the overall patient population within the health centers that participate in CHARN, about 60% of these patients are female, about a third are under 18, a pediatric population, about 63% are below 100% poverty. When we look at less than 200% of the federal poverty level, 80% are there, and about 30% have no insurance. In terms of the racial and ethnic background, about 20% of them have Hispanic ethnicity, about 13% are Asians, and that is a pretty unique unique aspect of CHARN to have, that percentage in terms of people of Asian backgrounds. Very often in a number of our national reports, Asians and are often underrepresented. About 3% are Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islanders, about 15% Black African Americans, Native Indians, American Indians, about 1%, and about a third of them are whites. In terms of our infrastructure, there are 2 goals we have in CHARN. CHARN has 2 overarching goals. The first is to establish the infrastructure, and the second, which I will go into, is to demonstrate that this infrastructure has actually been established. So in terms of the objectives here, we wanted to establish a governance structure, have bylaws, develop a work plan, to develop a communication platform. This is a collaborative. There are 17 organizations, health centers. We have what are called research nodes. The research node has a research node center with clinical affiliates and an academic institution and an academic affiliate. So that forms a research node. 4 research nodes come together along with a central data coordinating center to form CHARN. We plan on conducting patient-centered outcomes and CER capacity building and training. Another objective here is to foster collaboration and the exchange of ideas between researchers and providers and other personnel in health centers. And really, really trying to bring the people who use the research and the people who produce the research, bring that piece together. A fifth objective is to establish a registry. The sixth is to establish a plan to study and encourage the transfer of network findings into practice. I wanted to focus a little bit about, because this is an IT subgroup, so I focused a little bit about the informatics piece. We're in the process of establishing a registry. So there are a number of steps that go into that, from establishing data use agreements, developing those agreements, developing IRB templates. These are 17 corporate entities. They each may have their different IRBs. It's a process of standardizing as well as providing flexibility for the organizations. Another step in this process of developing a registry here is we're going to be developing nodal and central level data repositories. So there are a number of ways to develop this registry. You can have a centralized or you can have decentralized. Some of these registries are virtual registries, which means that the information the information exists, but at the sites and not centrally. The approach that we're taking is to develop a registry. It will be located centrally. However, the nodes, so there will be, every clinical affiliate will send its data to the research node, then the research node will send its data to the central coordinating center. Another part in terms of developing this registry is to be able to characterize the churn population. What I gave you in terms of the demographics is data that the health centers report. I mean, this is UDS data that health centers report on what their patient population, that was data that was 2009. So, with this registry, we will actually know the number of patients within churn and the patient demographics. The registry will support the planning and design of both observational and interventional studies. The second objective, as I mentioned earlier, was to demonstrate network capacity. So we're going to develop a research agenda that reflects all for research node and stakeholders. So I think which is really important in terms of developing a network. We plan on completing 1 to 2 multi-node research projects. It's very important when you have a registry, when you are developing this infrastructure, to not only to show that you have an organization, but to show that you can actually work together. Whatever, you can collect data together, you can conduct a research study together. So each study will include, each of these studies that we plan on doing will include at least 2 research nodes, and each research node will participate in 1 study. We plan on another piece in terms of demonstrating our capacity is to develop and submit collaborative research proposals. And of course, a third in terms of demonstrating our capacity is to disseminate the findings via our communication structure. So this is what our steering committee looks like. Sorry, my timer. So this is what our steering committee looks like. It's a 23-person steering committee. Each node got 3 participants, 3 seats at the table, so as to speak, 3 votes. There are 3 representatives, 4 representatives. Each node got 4 representatives. 3 of them came from the clinical side, the clinical affiliates, the health centers, and 1 came from the academic partner. So that was one of the criteria. They had 4 votes. And 1 of the votes had to be the academic partner. The data center got 3 votes, and there were 3 extra nominations that HRSA nominated 3 experts from the field to sit on the steering committee. So the steering committee is the primary governing body for CHARN. You will see that there are a number of other bodies that are subordinate to the steering committee, one of which is the executive committee. The executive committee are the PIs of all the grants. So there are 5 PIs, and the HRSA project officers form the executive committee. And there are 4 other subcommittees, which are work groups, which is where the work gets done: research planning and publications, a data sharing registry, communications and community relations committee, and an IRB regulatory committee. In terms of our other accomplishments. We have accomplishments in the area of our communications. We developed an intranet which facilitates communication among the sites. We've presented at two national meetings. This is our third. One of our research notes, which is APTURE, contributed to the national dialogue on PCORI. In terms of the data infrastructure that we're building, our registry is under construction. We have developed data dictionaries and data submission documents. These have been developed, and data use agreements are being established. In terms of our research agenda, we've identified and prioritized several cross-nodal research projects, and I'll give you a flavor of what those projects are. One of our nodes got a supplemental funding to conduct research on patient-reported outcomes via a PC, and another node, OCHIN, was it published a manuscript. Training, in the area of training accomplishments, we are conducting a needs assessment, really trying to get a sense of, you know, in terms of the health centers, what are they engaged in, what are their interests in research, and what are the capacity and how much experience they have in this area. And we will use that information to tailor our research training. In terms of our research agenda topics, we have a number of topics, one of which is improving healthcare delivery. And so some of the topics, and of course, we're not going to be working on all those topics. There are a lot of topics. We've identified two that we're going to be working on. And building on. So one of the topics is using HIT to identify patients with undiagnosed hypertension. So these are people who have hypertension. You know, when they came into the clinic, you know, their blood pressure was consistently elevated, but they're not on meds, and they don't have a diagnosis of hypertension. And so that was one of the projects that a number of the providers in particular in the clinics were interested in, because I think, you know, very often in research you have researchers coming up with questions, and people who practice, you know, those aren't necessarily the questions they would ask. And so we have here the opportunity to really ask research questions that are meaningful to practitioners. Another one I wanted to draw your attention to is the one we titled Moments of Compromise. We know that we all get guidelines. We have, from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force or from the Community Preventive Services Task Force about what is the best care. And at times when you're serving in underserved settings, the guidelines really make assumptions about the referral networks that you have, and that's not it. So that is a study which tries to say, let's pick one or two guidelines and let's look at those guidelines in an under-resourced setting, in a setting where there are no specialists, in a setting where people don't have insurance, in a setting where, that you cannot refer your patient to the specialist. What is the best, what is the compromise you make there? And so really trying to, get more understanding there. We have topics related to CER, and one of those topics is evaluating the comparative effectiveness of innovative enabling services for diabetes care. In health centers, patients not only get medical care, they get a lot of wraparound services that facilitate their care. Those enabling services are like translation services, case management services. So the idea is to really make comparisons around those innovative services. A third research topic is in the area of enabling services. A third is improving diabetes outcomes through the implementation of enabling services. So looking at the impact of those enabling services on diabetes care. So in terms of our next steps, we've completed a year. And so what I showed you here are our accomplishments for the first year of the project. We're going to collect our registry data. We have to develop study protocols for doing those cross-nodal studies. We'll have to conduct our needs assessment, and we're in the field. And those needs assessment will really help us develop our performance metrics, as well as help with personnel training. We have to conduct the personnel training, and an important next step is to launch the CHARN internet website. More next steps is to develop what we're calling a community virtual vetting infrastructure, which is a way to really collect ideas from the larger community. So yes, we have these 17 organizations, but they are providers, they are nurses, they are promotoras, they are a bunch of people, and so we would really want to engage the entire community. I mean, I'm at HRSA, and it's really important to connect the PIs and CHRN to other funders. This is infrastructure building. They're building the infrastructure to do research, and so really getting them connected to research funding organizations. And our next meeting, the next meeting of the steering committee is in DC on the 1st and 2nd of February. In terms of lessons, I wanted to include this in terms of lessons. And I say we're moving from independence to interdependence. And if you guys have been involved in networks, they promise a lot, and it's a lot of work. So I wanted to share with you, and maybe you know that, but to underscore that network building is community building and it's relationship building. So you have researchers and community people coming together. So typically, researchers and community people would come in around a research grant. But now in CHRN, we have an umbrella in which they can interact, they can learn from each other, and they can meet, and develop a relationship and develop a shared history to move forward. And it really takes mutual respect, equity, and empowerment. And, these are deliberative steps. Data sharing, all the health centers in CHRN have electronic health records, but one, okay? And they have EHRs. And data sharing is not an event, it is a journey. Because there's so many steps, along the way from getting buy-in from the organizations, from training, as well as agreeing on what the data elements ought to be. We've also learned that there's a benefit of having neutral and expert facilitation for research conversation, because it really helps to have somebody who can broker those relationships. And I think there are many opportunities for co-learning. And I think, my background is in community-based research. And so we said, and we've known that, there's shared learning. But I think with CHRN, I've really seen opportunities not only for community people to learn and for academics to learn. Huge. Community people and community researchers and working in communities, the kind of savvy you get in working with communities, the kind of savvy, how you learn to develop consensus. That's my thing saying that I'm out of time, which is good. So I think there are huge opportunities for co-learning. CHRN has a unique value. It's a safety net organization. So it brings together safety net organizations and providers. It's scalable. So we have 17 today. Tomorrow we can have X. 17 plus X. These are safety net populations. So we have large numbers of racial and ethnic minorities, uninsured, as well as children. I think it presents a model for special populations. We have fully implemented electronic health clinical systems, and I really think that CHRN brings a new voice to the research enterprise. This is the CHRN logo. I wanted to share it with you, so if you see that logo, it's CHRN, and this is the end of my presentation, and I wanted to draw your attention to the CHRN newsletters. So I have 20 copies. I think we're about 20 people in here. So it's the first quarter. We have a quarterly newsletter, so on your way out, you can just pick up a newsletter and learn more about CHRN. Thank you.